Hello, Apostolic Insiders, and welcome to the fifth Sunday of Easter here at the Staples household. And I know Rose is excited because it's May 1st, which means 6 months. What happens?
We put up the Christmas lights.
The Christmas lights. Yay! I know we shouldn't be looking forward to Christmas. We're in the heart of the holiest season of the year in Easter, but we can't help it. We love Christmas in this household. But at any rate, it is the fifth Sunday of Easter, and I want to start with the first reading here from the book of Acts, which on the surface, there's something that seems very strange. Now, I want you to listen. And when Paul had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. Remember, this is when Saul of Tarsus, Paul the apostle, first converted. And he had been persecuting Christians, so the disciples were like, is he really a Christian? Or is this just a ruse to get in here and persecute us more? But verse 27 says here, and we're in Acts chapter 9, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So Paul went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists. Real quick, the Hellenists, these are Jews who had been spread throughout, you know, the Grecian Empire, right? Hence, Hellenists refers to Greek. And they had really become Greek speakers, influenced by Greek culture. And now they're coming back to Jerusalem, and they would for feast days and that sort of thing. And they're kind of a mixed bag. Remember this. You've got some that are devout Jews among the Hellenists. You had some that converted to Christ among the Hellenists. And then you had some who were, we would say today, worldly and didn't believe at all. But here, catch this. He spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. Look at verse 29. They wanted to kill Paul. And when the brethren knew it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. But now, this is the strange part. Verse 31. So the church throughout all Judea, now remember, Jerusalem is in Judea. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace. And was built up, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It was multiplied. What in the world's going on? You just said in verse 29, they're trying to kill Paul, right? In Jerusalem, in Judea, and now we say, and there was peace in Jerusalem. Peace in Judea and such. What is going on? Well, this becomes a really important point. Understand that in the New Testament, the word irene for peace does not simply mean the cessation of hostility. Like if you have two armies that are going at it with each other and they have a ceasefire and there is peace, right? Peace there means simply an absence of something, an absence of war. And that is generally how the word irene was used in ancient Greek. But there's an interesting phenomena that happens with the coming of Jesus Christ, with the advent of Christ and our faith. Often, when the fathers of the church and even the gospel writers are attempting to explain the mysteries of our faith, the language in existence just can't do it because there's no language in existence that can really do justice to the mysteries of the faith. And this is why, Rose, check this out, all right? Often, the church has to invent words or take words already in use and use them differently in order to explain the mysteries of the faith. And this is an example of that. The word irene, which generally meant, you know, the cessation of hostility, becomes something so much more in the New Testament. It's not the absence of something. Rather, it is possessing something. It is possessing the peace that comes from right relationship with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this is why it here in verse 29, you can say the Hellenists are trying to kill Paul. And then in verse 31, and there was peace, right? Because peace is not the absence of war or violence or disturbances, but it's the presence of something new. And that is, as Jesus described it in John 14:27, peace I give unto you, my peace, not as the world gives. Now notice, Jesus makes a distinction between the peace the world gives. That's the absence of something, the cessation of hostilities. No, I'm not here to give you that kind of peace. I'm here to give you my peace. This is a tangible peace that comes, again, as a result of right relationship with God. There is peace in your soul, so that people can be trying to kill you. Wars can be raging all around you, but you have the peace of God. Remember when Jesus was in the ship with the apostles on the sea and a storm strikes, right? And the storm is raging and the disciples think, oh my gosh, we're going to die. Jesus was asleep. He was asleep in the bottom of the boat when the thing was being tossed and turned. Why? Because he was at such peace. It didn't matter what was going on around him. Man, I tell you, this will be fodder for future reflections, but there are so many examples we could use right here of times where the church basically invents words or creates new meanings for words in order to explain this awesome gospel of ours. But this is a beautiful example of that, because as Paul describes it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And in verse 6 there in Philippians 4, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There Paul gets at this idea that the peace is not the absence of something. It's the presence of something, a relationship with God that truly is beyond what we can even express because it is so glorious. And that really leads us to the second point I want to make. And that's from the gospel, John chapter 15. And I think these two texts flow right together, where Jesus says in verse 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Now in verse 2, every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bring more fruit. This is one of those texts, Rose, Catherine, where you really wonder how anybody can believe in the false doctrine of once saved, always saved. Because notice Jesus makes it as plain as day here. Every branch of mine, he's talking about his disciples, that bears no fruit, the Father takes away. Now, what does he mean, takes away? Go down to verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Again, he's talking to the disciples and about the disciples. But if a man does not abide in me, what did he just say before? Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, what? He takes away. Well, he explains it more here in verse 6. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. That's talking about hell. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so become my disciples. Now, some of the modern Bibles, including, unfortunately, the RSV Catholic edition, get this wrong, the Greek word there is genestha, which means to create or to be made, right? So, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so become my disciples, right? So I think what we see here in John chapter 15 is Jesus is describing the source of getting the kind of peace that St. Luke was writing about in Acts chapter 9, where you can have somebody trying to kill you, and yet you are at peace. The church that's being attacked and persecuted has peace. Why? Because they are connected to the vine. He is the vine, we are the branches. And when we are connected to Jesus, there can be a storm raging all around us, and we can be snoozing right through it, right? Because we have such peace. And this is a peace that nobody can take away from you, but you can forfeit it. We can forfeit it by breaking ourselves off from the vine. That's Jesus' point, right? If you abide in me, right? Then, notice the difference here. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you will, it will be done. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you become my disciples. And so what we really want to meditate on this week is how in our lives, how are we abiding in the vine? What are we doing in our lives to continue to abide in Jesus? Because that is the only way to peace. It's the only way to blessing. It's the only way to heaven. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. Don't settle for the peace that this world gives, because ultimately it's fleeting and it's weak. But the peace that Jesus gives, that comes from abiding in him, is a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that's tangible, and it's a peace that is transformative and empowers you to be able to change the world. God bless you.